So if you could take your Bibles, this is important. If you could take your Bibles and turn to the second chapter of the book of Habakkuk. The second chapter of the book of Habakkuk. Remember, I had made mention of this, that instead of doing just one message for each of the minor prophets, I now would be going to three of them and getting the message specifically for America, for the Christians and non-Christians in America, that which we need to know. But this especially, this book, there's Habakkuk, going to be going to, then Malachi, and then Jonah. But Habakkuk right now has volumes to speak. And I hope and pray that we listen and we wind up listening well. So let's pray, and we'll ask God to just meet with us. Heavenly Father, Lord, speak. I pray that you would, Lord, be with our nation, help us. We desperately need it. We need the vision, Lord, that the Word has to say to us. I pray that you would work in believers, work in us. Lord, help us to recognize that you rule over all. You have a plan. You are not lax. Lord, there is that which is coming, which is terrifying to sinful mankind. You will prove yourself to be God of very gods. So, Lord, teach us, I pray, tonight. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So, we had started in Habakkuk chapter 1, and the cry of the prophet was this: Lord, how long shall I cry? We've got sin around us. Lord, what are you going to do? You need to do something, Lord. I mean, we feel that way as Americans. You know, we need to do something, Lord. You know, we need you to do something, Lord. We need help. We need something. There's situations going along that are people that are in office and in entertainment and in education all over the place. Lord, look at what's going on. Why don't you do something? Then God comes to Habakkuk in this case, and he says, you know something? I'm going to do something. In fact, I have not been sitting back. I have been aware of what's going on. And when I move, the whole world will know what I have done. Then it comes to Habakkuk that, wait a minute, Lord, you know, Israel needs to be judged, but Lord, by a wicked people, Babylon, Lord, how can that be? Lord, they are far more wicked than your children are, than Israel is. It didn't matter. God is going to judge mankind, Jew or Gentile, whoever it is that turns their back on him. In coming to chapter 2, Habakkuk says, okay, look at verse 1. He says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, just catch this. Think of what is going on here. Habakkuk says, all right, Lord, I've heard you. Now, what I'm going to do, Lord, is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to watch, and I'm listening, Lord. I'm going to see what you do. And then after you have shown me where I have been wrong, I'll answer. I'm going to be thinking even about the answer right now. Lord, I know I'm sinful man, and I understand you are God in heaven. You rule over all. But you know something? The fact of the matter is, Habakkuk doesn't even have a clue yet just what God is going to do. And when we get done with chapter 2, if we listen, this chapter is going to show us something so ominous, and yet as God's people, so glorious, what is going to take place. Now with Habakkuk, God says, okay, excuse me, Habakkuk says, I'll watch. And then God shows up. And he says, no, you're going to write. You are going to write. Look at verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Now, God has used mankind to write. He has used them to put down by pen and parchment, pen and paper in our time, whatever you want to call it, what he wants people to know, both believer and unbeliever. When he moves, he moves. Now, we love the particular passages that bring us hope, and he means them, that bring us joy, that show us the love of God. But there is also the God of the universe that says, I'm not going to put up with sin anymore. This is it. I mean, we're talking about the God of judgment. And as he looks down the corridors of time, and we watch with him, I mean, we wind up answering how he did, how Habakkuk answered in chapter 3. But we're not going to get there yet. We're not there yet. Let's continue. Habakkuk had been demanding. Now he has been humbled. He says, you write. Look at verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. You know, time is an interesting concept. Americans, over the last 50 years, we have gotten used to things starting and stopping in 30-minute increments because we watch television, or some of us, we used to watch that stuff, or, you know, when we watch an Andy Griffith, all of a sudden, you know, it's taken care of in 25 minutes and 37 seconds or whatever. That's not how God operates. He says, when I do this, I will not tarry. It's coming in my time, and when it comes, there's times we need to wait for fulfillment. Now, we need to get this in our minds. God fulfills what he promises. God will glorify himself. I started getting a kind of a glimpse of what Habakkuk was getting. When here was Habakkuk saying, Lord, you got to do something. And God says, I don't operate on your timetable, but this is one thing I do. When I operate according to my character. I will do it in my time, but when I do it, it will stun the world. And Habakkuk, when I tell you, it's going to stun you as well. When it comes to these things, when we think of the fact that it will come, we think of what God has promised not only to Babylon here, but in the Babylon yet to come, what we read of in prophecy. Here were people that were wicked, they were sinful, they invaded nations, and they were so incredibly cruel. God had every intention in dealing with them. You know, there's kind of an allusion to what the Lord said there in verse 3 in Hebrews 10:37. The writer of Hebrews refers to it when he says this, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. Old Testament, New Testament, you get this idea. Listen, when he comes, he comes. It's in my time for what I know that is right. And when he comes, nothing will stop him. We wind up having our ideas. When I say we, I mean collectively as mankind. In our nation, we have a Department of Defense. We have the State Department. We have people that deal with other countries. We're looking to make deals with them. We're looking to maneuver. We're using our military to try to hold some back. And there have been times we've used our military in a wretched way, in a wicked way. When God moves, He will move on mankind, not like nations who have kind of maneuvered with each other. I mean, ever since I've been alive, we have dealt with a situation with Russia and with China, and yes, with other nations, North Korea and such. God doesn't deal in anything like that. Look at verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. His soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Listen, we're not dealing with pride here, God is saying. The one who is up, and he says, you know, I'm going to be dealing with the way, with mankind the way I feel. No. He says, listen, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. Now, let's stop here and think about this. Three times in the New Testament, this phrase is quoted right here in a little book called Habakkuk. Three times a phrase used, the just shall live by his faith. One of the very significant places that this is quoted is in Romans chapter 1, and I invite you to turn there. Go to Romans chapter 1. To catch a grasp of this, we need to do this. Because remember, here's a little book, and it's talking about wickedness. Wickedness not only in Israel, but wickedness in the world. We see this right now with what we are about to see regarding the wickedness of our age. Look at verse 21, if you would. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became in vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, you're going to see this is echoed in Habakkuk chapter 2. But let's continue. Verse 23, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Think about that. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, that which is shameful, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. So God gave them up, God gave them up, now God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind void of judgment, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despised, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy, of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. When you read Habakkuk chapter 2, you realize that thousands of years ago, people were already involved in these things. Now they have gotten worse. I like what one friend of mine said when he was preaching this. He says, this is what mankind has done. In verse 21, they devalue God. 23, they deglorify God. 25, they distort God. 28, they deny God. Verse 30, they despise God. And then 32, they defy God. Now, this is what mankind has been. This is the track record. And when you read what God does, it's terrifying in His judgment. But, again, we're thinking about the phrase, the just shall live by his faith. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed, Paul said, of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, hearkening back to Habakkuk, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul is saying that saying Scripture is our resource for what we need. We are hearkening back to the Old Testament. It is by faith that we live. Listen, you want the answer to racism? You want the answer to our culture and it's all its problems? The answer to our society? It's not the entertainment industry. They glorify it. It's not the government. They made it legal. It's not religion. They have begun to adopt it in so-called religion. It's Christ. And it is Him that we put our faith in. So Habakkuk and us, we're learning these things. He says, you're right, our reliability is in the Scripture. Our resource is found in faith. It's us putting our faith in what God has said. All right, this is what you do. You write, thus saith the Lord. Let's go back, if we would, to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And he says this. In verse 5, he says, yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he's a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all the nations, and heapeth unto him all people. This kind of alludes to this. Now, we're talking about Babylon here. Let's get our focus back on there. The Lord is speaking to Habakkuk about Babylon. They were known to be very addicted to wine. In fact, Babylon was conquered when Belshazzar and his leaders were having a riotous wine banquet. That was them. Look at verse 6. Shall not all these take up a parable against him? And a taunting proverb against him, and say, now, let's stop right there. Remember, Habakkuk came to God and he said this, how can you let these people do what they're doing? And this is God's response. I know what I'm doing. Judgment is coming. Now, we need to stop and we need to listen. America needs to listen. Every nation that puts its fist in the face of God is set up for judgment. And it doesn't matter how it started. If it drifts into sin, however it started, God will finish it. God is holy. He is just. You read Romans chapter 1, and then you read Habakkuk chapter 2 with Babylon, and you recognize all of mankind is made up of this horrendous stuff. And so what God does is He uses Habakkuk to give not only to Babylon, but all of mankind, five woes. Five woes. Look at the middle of verse 6. Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. How long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay. Now let me stop right here and say this. What this all alludes to with what we are about to look at, what it all alludes to is the sins of Babylon. But our own nation has committed some of these. And we can think of nations that are alive right now. They do these things. For instance, this excuse me, this verse right here, the end of verse 6, woe to him that increaseth that which is not his. When a nation specializes in greed, vandalism, robbery, as a means of acquiring whatever they want, listen, they better look out. God is watching. God is looking. Look at verse 7. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee? It's interesting here. The words creditors and debtors are derived from a Hebrew verb that means to bite. Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee? And thou shalt be for booties unto them, because thou hast spoiled many nations. All the remnants of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. You know, there are nations today, and even America is tempted into this, and America at times has done wrong. I'm not saying big time as compared to other nations, but there are nations that come along and they steal and they rob and they're going to take from other countries. If that nation is weak, they'll come in to take away its resources. That's what Babylon was known for. We've seen that today. I'll never forget as a young boy hearing about this thing called the Iron Curtain that came down and how godless communism was gobbling up nations, and in order to keep the people in those nations staying there instead of fleeing, they put up what was known as the Iron Curtain. China did the same thing with what's known as the Bamboo Curtain. That's something that we haven't heard of in a long time. But there are nations, they want to absolutely strip other lands. When you look back at wars, it's the same thing. God says, I'm taking note. You know, you stop and consider. Think about this. When God created mankind, what was he told to do with the earth? What was he told to do? He was to dress it. He was to keep it. He was to take care of it. Look at what has happened. It wasn't for mankind just to strip away from other people to get gain. We were to take care of this earth. I can't wait to see what God has us do with the earth in the millennial reign. When it comes to countries like Babylon, and they are alive today, he says, you wait, it's coming. Then there's the oppression that comes along. Look at verse 9. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Here's greed. This was greed that I mentioned in the first part, in the first woe. And now we've got covetousness, and that covetousness brings oppression in the second woe. So here comes power-hungry Babylon. They're conquerors. They stop at nothing. They're going to set their nest high, but they're going to find out that it's not going to last. You go to Obadiah, it's only one chapter. But Obadiah speaks to a wicked people and says, though you set your nest upon the stars, I'm going to bring you down. And God is telling Babylon the very same thing. You know, it's interesting what's taking place today. When it comes to different countries, we will do what we seek to do. And when I say we, I'm talking about mankind, setting ourselves up. But then we want a military that will keep away anybody that can come and take away what we have taken, and something that will come along to bring us down. I'm all for a strong military, but not for wicked reasons, not for wicked purposes. And Babylon was known for that. And again, we have people today that are known for that. One way or another, to get an advantage over another country so we can overpower them and take and oppress. You know, people today talk about slavery and they're mentioning what took place in America 200 years ago. There's slavery today. All these things are taking place now. Like an eagle setting his nest inaccessible. Gonna bring it up above all the predators. Babylon sought to make the empire high. It's really interesting that Babylon was taken down so simply. Somebody redirected a river. Verse 10, thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people and hast sinned against thy soul. Again, we're looking at things that other countries are doing today. God through Habakkuk is looking at Babylon. What I sensed in reading this and studying it is that there are sins that are being committed today that nations on this earth right now, if they had any sense, they would listen. This is not something that we want to do. We come in, we take over, we oppress, but the fact of the matter is the ruin of many of these peoples, the nations and such, it's going to come back and it is going to haunt us. Verse 11, for the stone shall cry out of the wall. That's interesting. The stones cry out. We hear in the New Testament about the Lord saying, if people quit bringing him glory. Here Habakkuk, or God is saying through Habakkuk, it's going to be the stones, it's going to be the walls, the stones and the wall. They'll answer. This is what you have done. Even if every single enemy were exterminated, every one of them, those stones would testify against Babylon. That's an interesting statement to think about. That one way or another, wicked men will be seen in their wickedness and they will be judged. But God's not through. There's the atrocities that they did. Look at verse 12. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Nebuchadnezzar implemented his policy of beautifying Babylon with slavery at the expense of blood, sweat, tears. This was ruthless, and it goes on today. There were people in the last 100 years in different wars, they used wickedness towards other people to try to build them up. The cities of the Babylonian Empire were built by enslaved people. Murder, bloodshed, oppression, tyranny were the tools that were employed here. God, one day, will come and destroy it all. God will come one day and he'll say, enough. By the way, when we think of this, there is something to this, that we kind of start thinking about ourselves, really. He says, woe to him that buildeth a town with blood. There are people today, they say, you know what? I don't want this child. And a doctor says, all right, you don't have to have this child. You stop and consider this. And politicians need to be wary. They need to be aware, I should say. There are some politicians that are building their quote-unquote empires on blood. They come along and they say, I'm pro-choice. You can do away with your unborn child. I will make sure you have that right. No. God says it's sin. It's murder. It's wickedness. Babylon, they built it with the blood of slaves that was shed. Today in America, we wind up building our good times. We wind up building our society on fun. And if a baby gets in the way, we can take care of that. No, America, sadly, this land that said, yes, we want justice for all, the unborn child does not get justice in Planned Parenthood or any other place that does away with that life. Verse 13, behold, Is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and people shall weary themselves for very vanity? Listen. Attention is diverted to the Lord Almighty here. God says, stop. Wait a minute. The sovereign of the universe speaks. You have spoken in vain what you are doing. You will feel the fire of my wrath. The Lord of hosts, that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for their very vanity. I'm going to come along. You have done what you can, and I'm talking to Babylon, he's saying. You've done what you can. That which you have put yourself into, I'm going to take it and I'll burn it down. And what you have put yourself into is just going to wind up being ash. And it's the same thing for us. The nations shall exhaust themselves for nothing. That's what that means. At their work, Babylon or any nation like it, it is a waste. If it is wrought with bloodshed, with crime, it will go down in flames. Verse 14, for the earth shall be filled. Listen to this. See, God interrupts the woes right here. He says, I've got something I want to tell you a little bit early right now for you to understand just exactly what I'm trying to get through. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. We're going to mention this in a little while. But you stop and you consider this. Here is Babylon. They have toiled a whole generation, boasting Babylonians, excuse me. And what they've done is come into a little heap of ash in a small corner of the earth. The whole world will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Here's Babylon boasting. I'm doing this. I am overrunning nations. I am drawing these people. I am using them to build me. God says, you know, you're a piddly little dot in a piddly little place in a piddly little time, and I will absolutely breathe fire and pew, it's gone. It's a little bit of ash, but the whole world will know me. Now that's something we can stop right there and we can joy and rejoice in when it comes to believers. But again, we're looking at the woes that are coming because of their sin and any other nation that sins like this. When the Messiah rules his kingdom, the knowledge will be all over the earth. By the way, that kind of phrase is used in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament in the Revelation. Now we go to the debauchery that's going on. Look at verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunk also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Again, here are these people. They're given over to this. They love their wine. By the way, people today love their drugs. They love their alcohol. You know, people by the tens of thousands are still dying on the highways when it comes to alcohol. There is no excuse. You don't need alcohol. You just need Jesus. If you need to calm down, use him. He is your peace. He is your rest. I'm not going to turn this into a message on that right now. But I'll dare anybody, when it comes to drinking that which moveth in the cup, as Solomon calls it, God will bring it back down on them, though. God will make Babylon drink out of the cup of his wrath. Not an actual drink like the Babylonians had given to others. They wanted to give it to them so these people would get drunken and in their shame they would be made fools of. Verse 16, thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. He says, you know what? It's going to come back on you. You will be an absolute disgrace here. And you know, we could say some things about the liquor industry here. I'm not going to go into it big time, but you know, there are people in this land that have learned how to make money on turning people into zombies. Babylonians did the same thing for wicked purposes. Verse 17, for the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land of the city and of all that dwell therein. God held Babylon responsible, not only for the violence done to Judah, but for the violence done to other nations, just like Lebanon. The reason for Babylon's abject shame was her violence done to Babylon. Lebanon, a nation north of Israel, was known for its abundance of cedar trees and wild animals, and they came in and they ruined them. The worst charge was the bloodshed. So we've gone through this quickly, but I want us to catch this. These things are going on today in certain parts of the world. God, through Habakkuk, has been looking at Babylon, the Babylonians, and he will be using them to judge Israel, but he will judge Babylon as well, and it will be something overwhelming. It's also showing what's going to take place in the future. Now we're coming to the end, and I want you to see this. There's the idolatry. This is key, because what is idolatry? It's something else taking the place of God. Verse 18, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath given it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? He's asking, what's the value of an idol? They're nothing. It's wood. It's metal. It's absolutely nothing. But men use it to teach lies. They were lifeless. Lifeless. In fact, it got to this point. He gives his last woe. Verse 19. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. Let's just gather this, if we could please, into final thoughts here. We've looked at the sins, and it's not fun to look at. We've looked at the sins of Babylon, how they have misused and abused people, and many nations in our history and people today are doing the same thing. They are being ruthless, with resources. They're not treating this world like God created it to be. They're not treating mankind like God created him to be treated. We know that. We're to love one another. We're to love our enemies. The enemy doesn't have that thought. Finally, here, God, through Habakkuk, comes to the thought of idols. Idols that are not saying a thing. And what does mankind do? What does Babylon do? Comes and says, please, awake. Speak to us. Speak to us. We're waiting to hear. It doesn't happen. But watch this. Verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. You see, the other four woes, they start in the Hebrew with the word for. Here, verse 20 starts with but. Instead of shouting, consider this. Instead of shouting, awake, God says, all right, here I am. Keep silence. There are things I wish God would do right now. But our God is in heaven and He is doing His will. There are things today I wish would take place with our country. I'd love to see judgment in certain areas. God is saying through Habakkuk to all of mankind, I have the plan. It will not tarry. When I pull the trigger, there's no stopping it. And with what I do, let all the world keep silence. I'm on the throne. I rule over all. You won't be shouting, awake, awake, like somebody said a little bit ago. Those that are saying, awake to a stone, one day will be saying, fall on us and hide us from God. You know something? God is good. God is good. But we also need to remember this. God is God. Habakkuk, he was saying, God, where are you and what are you going to do? God says, I'll tell you where I am. I'm in heaven. I'm doing in my holy temple what I had planned to do. I am doing exactly what I proposed to do. And I will do it. And the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Now, in looking at this passage here tonight, it's kind of new to many of us. And we don't really grasp just the depth of what God just said through Habakkuk to the world. But as we're going to see when we get to chapter 3, Habakkuk is stunned. And if we are wise and recognizing the power of God, we will say with Habakkuk what Habakkuk said. But we're going to save that for another time. Right now, for us, it is this. Our God is working. Our God is prepared to do whatever His will is. We don't go to God and try to fix Him. We go to Him and we glorify Him. Our God knows what He's doing. I rejoice that our God knows what He's doing right now in our country. What we do first, before we petition Him like we saw this morning, we give Him praise because He is God. He knows what He's doing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we would take even more time and meditate over this chapter. You know what You're doing. There is coming that time when we will be silent before You. And then we will rejoice in heaven with You. But this is stunning. It's not just the Babylon of long ago. It's Babylon in the future as well. And that time, people will be saying, Babylon is fallen, and it will fall. Lord, I pray that we would be patient. We would, by faith, trust You that You are going to do what You have planned from eternity past. We thank You for Your love, but we also come trembling because of Your holiness and Your justice. Your will be done. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.